morning, Glory and Peace Church. Good morning to those in house. Good morning to those online. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's start praise and worship together. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship your name. We welcome you into this place. Thank you, Lord, that your spirit is here. Thank you, Father, for your glory and your presence here. Father, we worship your name. You deserve all the glory, Father God. You deserve all the honor. You deserve all the praise, God. We worship your name, Jesus. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. We praise your name, oh God. Just praise him. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We praise your name. 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 Hallelujah. You deserve all the glory, Lord. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Miracle of the promise. Yes, Lord, you are my peace, you are my peace,
you are my peace.
Hey, thank you, Lord, it's like no other.
It's like no other.
Hey, your peace surrounds me, Lord, it surrounds me, Lord.
Like no other.
And it fights for me, Lord. One more time, you are my peace, Lord, you are my peace.
You are my peace, peace like no other.
The peace like no other,
peace like no
other. And it reaches.
Somebody say, he is my peace. Somebody say, he is my strength. Somebody say, he is my God. Somebody say, he is my Lord. Somebody say, he is my Savior. Somebody say, he is my healer. Somebody say, he is my provider. Somebody say, he is my life. If you believe what you say, say a big amen. Amen. Did you see a line in that verse says, his love is stronger than mountains. Well, that's a small comparison, but it's a powerful comparison. It's stronger. I don't know what you need this morning. God is stronger than whatever that issue is. His love is will enable you to overcome this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. That means he is here just as he was. And he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you heard Jesus was in town this morning and you have a need and he's in such a place, what do you think is going to happen to you? Are you going to go home the same, or you are going to go home with the answer that you need in your life? So he is here this morning. He is forever present. I receive all that he has for me today. In Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. Well, thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. I wish I can sing like you guys and join you, but sometimes when the Holy Spirit's on me to sing, I just sing. I don't care. But right now, that spirit of singing is not on me. So praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, every song they sang this morning was powerful. Praise the Lord. But let us quickly pray for our children so we have more time for the word. Thank you, Lord. Well, God day, everybody. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. All right, those of you sitting or don't have little children, you can stretch your hands. If you are sick and you have a need this morning, miracles are already happening. Presence of God is here. You know, I had hot liquid fire all over my head, and I said, I didn't know I have any need, but I receive all of it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for all our wonderful and beautiful children, all our biological children, spiritual children, partners, extended families, and all the children in this house, and those that belong to Glory and Peace Church, and those that are far and near, we bless every one of them. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone from 120 plus to zero form to seed form working in this world right now, every decade of life, we lift everyone before you. We declare the Lordship of Jesus over every one of them. I At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you say, Jesus Christ, he is my Lord? Well, you got everything when you say that. So he is Lord over every situation, over your home, over your schoolwork, over your job, over your family, over your health, over everything, over your finance, over your home, over your workplaces, over your business, over church, everything. Somebody say, Jesus, he is Lord, and he is my Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for being here. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We receive you, we welcome you, have your way in our lives, in this service this morning, in our homes, in our city, in our nation, in our families, in everything that concerns us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, our scripture reading this morning is going to be in 1 Corinthians. Anyway, Valentine time has passed already, right? It happened during the week, so happy Valentine. Every day should be a love day. Say amen. Valentine did not create love. God is love. Say amen. So every day is what? Love day. Every day is love day. Somebody say every day. It's love day. Somebody say, I don't have anybody who loves me. Who told you that? God loves you. Everlasting love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Everybody should be in 1 Corinthians. Did I tell you the chapter? 13. Right? How many verses are in 1 Corinthians? Don't cheat. Huh? No, same as the chapter. How many verses? I just told you I help you to cheat. Same as the chapter. How many verses? So from today on, you will never forget again. Say praise the Lord. All right, let's say with confidence. How many verses in 1 Corinthians 13? So 13 is a good number. Some people are scared of 13. They say it's a bad number. No, every number is a good number. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, there's one in it, so praise the Lord. How many? Jesus and his disciples, how many were they? See, perfect number. It got quiet again. Am I in a different church this morning? Somebody say 13. Why? Because somebody has superstition, so God is breaking that off them now. And because of that person, the rest of you are enjoying. Say amen. 13, somebody say 13 is a great number. You go to some hotels, you will not find 13th floor because you're scared of 13. But 13 is a perfect number because Jesus and his disciples are many. So God with you all the time, you are. Hallelujah. Somebody say, but Judas, where Judas was replaced. Somebody say, hallelujah. All right, everybody should be there. Let's read. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Charity is love. I am become as what? Sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Somebody say, I don't know what that is. Well, just think about the drums this morning. They say you are like that. But the drums were good. They were playing melodious song. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you can imagine somebody who doesn't know how to play, go and sit on that drums this morning and bang on the cymbals. What do you think is going to happen to you? Everybody will be cringing, right? So, but because it's so good, we were all dancing and praising the Lord. Hallelujah. May you count and may you not be empty. That's a good place to say amen. Somebody say, may my life count. Yes. Okay. If you just know scriptures, you quote scriptures, you go to church, you act churchy, and you lack love, it says you are a noisemaker. And not a good noisemaker, an annoying noisemaker. We are delivered from that in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I choose love. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, love, I am nothing. Wow. These are all the things as believers we like to have. I mean, if you like to have the gift of prophecy, you know, somebody with the gift of prophecy can tell you details about your life when they have never met you in person, but for that moment. Even when they are not even with you, from a far distance, they can tell you. When we speak the word, we are prophesying. We are speaking the word. When you speak the word, you're prophesying. You're saying what God says. But there's a gift of prophecy where you can see and you can know and you can say things. And then the spirit of seer, seer can even see when whatever you have done, every detail. Say, when you even have all that special gifts and you lack love and you understand all mysteries, you know the in and outwards of things, you know the Bible inside and out, you know things and you can prove it, all knowledge, you know about things. There are people who are very knowledgeable in this world. You know, I saw a young kid doing mathematics better than the professor, better than the computer. They put the computer into calculate, he calculated more than the computer. So is that knowledge? A child, a young person, not even a teenager. Now, God is saying if you lack love, you can have that. So all those knowledge are available. Praise the Lord. Well, it's knowledge that made this thing in our hand that we are using now. From paper Bible to electronic Bible, who would have known? When I was growing up in school, we were doing shorthand. And we thought, what is all these scribblings? You know, some of you don't even know what shorthand is. So, but that's how we learned. Praise the Lord. If you want to write fast, you did shorthand. Praise the Lord. That's obsolete now. I don't know if they're still using it. Maybe they use it in the court. Who knows? Well, because in court, you have to type verbatim, whatever they're saying, right? So I have no idea. But it's obsolete. But when we were in school, it's a must. Praise the Lord. So knowledge is increasing every day. You should be saying amen. Who knows, when we say things like that, learn to say amen, church. When we say knowledge is increasing, don't you want your knowledge to increase? Knowledge is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Mysteries is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We're just saying, make sure it's in love. Amen? That's what you need to add. That's number one. Then add all those things. Because Bible says we should add virtues to ourselves. Amen. So adding virtue to yourself is a good thing. When I say amen, somebody in your child, maybe your child, your brother or your siblings, or even you, at whatever age you are, you can come up with a new invention that is going to bless our world. But if I now add, you make billions out of it, the amen will change. You see that? Amen. Only one person, the rest of you shied back. Amen. Why not? It's happening to other people. So we need a God idea so that when that idea comes, you are using it for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Instead of people going to the bank to go and borrow a loan, you say, this is for the kingdom. I'm going to take care of this and walk and pay back. Amen. So we can help the next person. The people of God ought to do better than the world. Say amen. So when you come to church, the word of God is coming. Learn to say what? Amen. Yes, and me too. You've been taught that me too is going to happen to me. When you are saying me too, well, somebody say, I'm too old for that. So be it. According to your faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How old was Moses when he was still hearing from God? 120, he was still hearing from God. Right? Praise the Lord. God just said, Moses, okay, come. Let's go bury you somewhere. But God didn't leave his body on the earth. He took him. Because Jude told us, Satan came to want to take his body. And the archangel said, no, no, no. And then we saw Moses in the transfiguration. Hallelujah. Having conversation with Jesus. Hallelujah. So let us add love. When God wants to kill the children of Israel for disobeying and murmuring and doing all kinds of crazy things, God's Moses, love showed up. He said, Father, don't do this. Eh? Some people will say, these people, they have troubled me so much. Every day they talk my ear, their noise was making my ear ache. I think just wipe them out. No, that's not. Love came out. And he negotiated with God to spare the people. That is love. Don't rejoice when somebody else is suffering. You pray. All right, let's move on. Verse what? 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not what? It profit me nothing. So love is the key. Do all that, but add love. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up, it's not a boaster. Don't brag about yourself. Brag about the Lord and what he has done. Say amen. Say amen. When God bless you with anything, a new car, a new home, a new child, a new marriage, whatever it is, friends, things, bless the Lord. Say, look what God has done. Because some people are looking for that, they don't have it, but you have it. Bless the Lord. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love does not act awkwardly, unseemingly. Somebody needs help, they are hurting. Instead of you praying and helping them, you act as if they don't even exist. And you have excuse for not being there for that person. You see, you act unseemingly. Love does not do that. If somebody is mourning, they need comfort. Comfort them. Even though they say they're good, you know, not everybody has revelation on overcoming death. Comfort them. Amen? We all live by revelation. It's the revelation of what you know that enables you to pass through things easier. If it's not real yet to you, do not pretend. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. So don't act unseemingly. Somebody has no food to eat. They told you. You pretended like you don't even care. And your food is rotting away in your house. May we change our ways. And think no evil. Don't think evil. That person is doing this, that, that, that. Think no evil about other people. Think blessing. And bless them. All right, verse 6, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Say, I knew it. I knew it. let us cry for mercy. Say amen. Because if you rejoice in their iniquity, remember if the iniquity that has not left you is in you too, you are borrowing issues for yourself. So let us have God to have mercy on them. I'll give you a good example. For instance, if all of you hear something bad is happening to Putin right now, how would you feel? Don't answer. Just have a sealer about it. So God said, let us not rejoice because they all belong to God. Now, sometimes we just want to rejoice because they're so wicked. It's just like Nigeria have wicked leaders. So, you know, if some of them are gone right now, the whole nation will be dancing. Only, I saw some Nigerians in the church smiling. They tried not to show their teeth, but it showed. God said, pray for them. Pray for our leaders. Amen. God has a way of removing them and installing the right one. Righteousness exalting nation, and sin is the reproach. Let us not join the sin gang. May we join righteousness. Say amen. After I read, this is my prayer, so I hope you are saying amen along. Verse 7, beareth all things. How many things? You mean you've had it with your marriage and you're going to leave? Say, beareth all things. Nah, that one is all. Some people don't want to hear it. You know, some people, they have problems in their marriages, and then they call, you help and help, and you help them. But then they make a decision to go and divorce, and then they hide. They don't call you anymore. But they don't know the Spirit of God has already told you what they are going to do from beginning, but you keep at it and helping them. Because they bear it all things. Say amen. So if you decide to leave, don't go and remarry. The Bible says you should forgive. You can't forgive. Well, there's permission to leave, but that permission is under the condition of adultery. But Jesus said it was not so from the beginning. So you can bear and you can forgive. Praise the Lord. All sin are all sin. Is there one sin greater than another? All sinners will end up in where? Frying hell. You say even liars. When you don't speak truth, they say you'll be in hell. When your attitude is wrong and you pretend you are not wrong and you are faking it, it says you will what? May God have mercy on us. Believeth all things. So somebody is telling you lies, you just know it. You say, believe them. Hi. Somebody say, love. You just know. I caught you in that lie yesterday. I caught you 3 days ago. I caught you again. And he says, do what? Believe all things. Is that not all things? Did he tell you to minus some? Believe. Let's believe God and love. Hope all things. How many things? Never give up hope. Hope that the answer is here for you. Jesus is the answer. Amen? Hope all things. It is going to turn around. Say amen. Endureth all things. Hallelujah. You persevere. You wait. You wait and you endure. Praise the Lord. I've heard some people say, I don't like to endure things. Even when you say patience, they say, I don't want to have patience. May God help us to endure all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 8. Say, love never what? Fail. Hallelujah. I like this part. When things are not working, I begin to say, love never fails. Hallelujah. You have something that will never fail. Everything fail, but love will never fail. Is there never in your Bible? Charity never fail. Love never fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall what? Fail. So some of you say that man of God, that woman of God gave me a prophecy. It didn't come to pass. Well, I say it will fail. But God's love will never fail. Say amen. Whether there be tongues, how many of you like to speak tongues? Not just speaking in tongues, but understand interpretation. Somebody is speaking, you know there's the gift of tongues. That somebody is speaking in Japanese, you can understand it. You never learned it. Somebody say, are there people like that? Yes. I think I shared that with you before. Praise the Lord. There are some people who are living in that realm. He said they will fail. Oh, they shall cease. May God have mercy on us. May we have love so we can have all these gifts working and not wasted. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You have a word of knowledge that comes and both in spiritual and in natural. May God help us In the name of Jesus. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. So nobody has all of it. May God help us as a believer in the body of Christ that these gifts will be in operation with the love of God. Say amen. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What is that which is perfect? Love. Says, never fail. Jesus, or God is love. Amen. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Somebody say, childish things. Childish things, leave me now. Yeah, so God does not want you to live in the realm of childishness. He wants you to advance. Amen? He said, when that which is perfect come. So may love perfect you to a place of maturity. Say amen. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then, face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know even more, even as also I am known. That time is coming. Amen? You will know as God knows you. God knows us to the extent that before we think a thing, he knows what we're going to think before I think about it. Now, that's the kind of knowledge you want to have. Say amen. God knows your tomorrow. He knows your 10 years from now. He knows your 20 years from now. He knows your 20,000 years from now. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So two of you back there, just help me this morning. I don't need distractions. When you're in the house of God, respect the house of God. So if you feel like chatting to the foyer, finish your chatting and then come back in. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We didn't come to meet with man this morning. We came to meet with a holy God. And we give him all the honor. Verse 13, and now abideth what? Faith, hope, charity. These three. Somebody say these three. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. These three things will remain after everything leaves. But the greatest is love. Somebody say, I receive the power of love. You don't want the human love, you want God's love. Human love always fails, temporary, carnal. Let us rise to pray. Ask God this morning to baptize you with his love. When you are baptized, you and that thing become one. May the oneness of his love permeate you so you can love. You can't, as a couple, you cannot love your spouse. You can be romantically, carnal, those are all carnal or fleshly love. But when push comes to shove, you need God's love to overcome. God's love will last. When God's love is there, people can stay in a marriage 80 years later. And you wonder, what are they doing together? Well, they just love each other. It's no longer carnal. Whether their physical body works or not, they just still love. They don't see the things you think you see about them. They just see themselves as young people. And you see them as old people. May God baptize us. May God baptize us so we can love our family members, love our uncles and our aunties, even those that have spoken evil words about us. May God baptize. Can you open up your mouth? I give you 1 minute to pray, and I'm going to say in the name of Jesus, say amen. So open up your voice and pray for love. Don't whisper it. Pray out. Just say, Lord, baptize me with your love, your agape love, your kind of love. baptize me. Baptize my family. Baptize my mind, my spirit, my soul. Baptize my body. Let everything about me love God. Because the word of God says you shall love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your might. We love you, Lord. You loved us with an everlasting love. We receive that agape love. Hallelujah. I know God is touching some people now because I can feel that holy oil pouring all over me. May you receive your portion. Baptize me now with your love. Baptize this congregation. Baptize those who hear the sound of my voice with your pure love. Say, love never fails. Your unfailing love. Baptize every one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know the band will sing that this morning, but God said, read Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13 to the people. Baptize us. Unfailing love. Love like no other. Love to love people, to love ourselves. Ask God to baptize you to love yourself. When you love yourself, you will act different. You will act different. You will act like a child of God. You will act like the king that God has made you to be. You will act like the queen that God has made you to be. When you love yourself, because God said, love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. Let God give you that kind of love, to love God, to love yourself, and to love others. In the mighty name of Jesus, say, Lord, baptize me with your love, with your agape love, with your unfailing love. In the mighty name of Jesus, to love you, to love myself, and to love others. In the name of Jesus, say amen. And now, Lord, we thank you that you answered us. Will we walk in love, act in love, move in love? Everything we do, we operate from that realm. And all the giftings of the Spirit that we read about will be in full operation in our lives. But will we do it out of your love? In the mighty name of Jesus, bless our church family. We now pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, peace to all the nations of the earth, peace to everyone who call upon the name of Jesus. Can somebody call his name? Because Jesus said, receive my peace. Peace I give unto you, not as the world. He gives us his everlasting peace because he's the Prince of Peace. We receive his peace. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare so done. Bless the water of the word. Bless the word this morning. As that water of that word come, let it cleanse us. Let it establish us. Let it bring forth fruit in due season. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about the church. The church. We started out by talking about the church being an organism, an entity that God has established for a great purpose. An organism is an individual thing that carries out activities through organs, which have separate functions. Each organ has a separate function, but are dependent on each other. They are dependent on each other, but they have specific functions. That is descriptive of the church. We are not all the same. We are different and play particular specific roles. And because we play particular and specific roles, we've got to be the best. Someone say the best. The best at the role that God has assigned to us. Everyone is not going to be the man behind the pulpit. And no matter how much you desire to be the man behind the pulpit, God is not going to judge you based on the fact that you were behind the pulpit when he assigned you to be the man at the door welcoming people. He will ask you, I sent you to be at the door welcoming people so that as they come in, you are speaking the blessing of God over them. That's what I assigned for you to do. That as they're coming in, welcome, the Lord bless you today. That is just as much of importance to God as the one who stands behind the pulpit. Every person is important in the body, but we don't all play the same role, but we function together in purpose. Amen? Purpose. What is the purpose? That the gates of hell, the government of hell, not prevail. Many years ago, a store came into town. It was called Walmart. And when Walmart came to town, they started doing something that they are not as good at now as they used to be. When you came, there was somebody there welcoming you. Do you remember that? And everybody went to Walmart because they were being welcomed. We were waiting for you. What is the role of the church? From the parking lot to stepping through the doors, there must be a sense of welcome. Now, I'm not saying to us today that we're doing everything right. I'm saying there is a place to make the best better. From the very moment somebody is coming to this church, they should have a sign that shows them where the parking lot is. Say, huh? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they don't know where the parking lot is. If we are just about ourselves and we know where everything is, perfect. But that means that we will always be the same amount of people that we are today, 20 years from now, because we are not ready to welcome anybody else. The church is meant to be a welcoming place. So when people are coming, there is a sign. They can, even though there is no service, there is a signage that is giving them a message, that is telling them, we are here to pray for you. We are here to do this for you. We are here to do that. We are here to minister to you. And the sign is preaching. Everything is playing a particular role. Glory be to God. So my thinking as a pastor, your thinking as part of the fellowship, this body of Christ, this organism, is to find out what can I bring and what can I do to make things better, to make this place more welcoming. Thank God for those who welcome. Every time Mama and I come, we can carry our bags. Obviously, we can. We carried it from our house to the car. But somebody comes and says, welcome, Pastor. And they grab that bag. You know what? I can say to them, no, I can carry it. But I know that they are playing a particular role. And that particular role is, I honor you. So I let them. But they are not my servants in terms of being slaves. They are sons of God who are serving, playing a particular role. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's an organism. It's a body. This morning, when we came, we saw a band playing together. That band was made up of different individuals playing particular instruments. One person was playing a saxophone. There were two keyboardists. There was a drummer. There was a bass player. There was a guitarist. There were singers. And you know what? When they came together and harmonized, they made music. Because they were congruent. They were working together. Now, if one of them decides that they're going to play in a different key, it doesn't matter whether that key was the right key that they like and they prefer. When they start playing a different key, we have total dissonance. We have confusion. Because there's no togetherness. There's no sense of unity. Now, let's say the key was G. So it's a G. I'm playing in G major. But somebody decides, no, I like it in a flat. And they start playing a G flat. And somebody else decides they want to play in a G sharp. Now, it's all G. But this G is not going anywhere anytime soon. It's confusion. In the church, we've got to know what it is that we are about. And everybody hook up to the right sound. The right sound is the agreed sound. There's nothing wrong with a G flat or G sharp. The only thing wrong with it is that what we're supposed to be playing is a G major, not a sharp or a flat. We're not trying to play in key E or F. We're not trying to play in key A. Not in this particular song, we want to play in G. If we decide we're going to play in a G flat or a G minor, great. We're playing minor chords. But we made a decision. The person who is Lord in this house is Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. And if Jesus is Lord, nobody else is Lord. Somebody listening? Jesus is Lord. What is the manifestation of his lordship? The manifestation of his lordship is if we love him, we keep his commandment. We obey his word. Grace is given to us to obey the word of God. Grace is not so that we can live in sin and say, well, I received grace. Praise God. Thank God for grace. No, grace empowers me to live right. So if I'm not living right, I know I'm going in a flat or in a sharp or whatever. I need to align myself with the truth. G-O-D, God is God and God is love. Connect. What is the church? The church forces me to become right. The church causes me to align myself with the word of truth. The church is the body of Christ representing God in the earth. Hallelujah. So when people look at the church, they should see God. When they look at the church, they should see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not disorganized. Do you see the word organized there? Organism. If any part of your body becomes dysfunctional, we will say the person is what? Sick. Is that true or not? Now the question then we must ask ourselves as God's people is this, are we a sick church? Or are we a healthy church? If we are healthy, then every individual is moving at their best. We are not a church just when we come together. We are the church being the best that we can be in our homes. Ah. When we are not together, we're still the church. Hallelujah. And our pursuit is to be the best me in God. So that when we come together, I'm the best me producing and releasing the best me to each other. Glory be to God. What does the word of God say? In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. Beginning to read from verse 14. The word of God says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't be attached, yoked to an unbeliever. Now, an unbeliever is not necessarily somebody who is out there who has never believed. Come with me. An unbeliever is somebody who believed and now has unbelieved what he believed. God says, as soon as you see that, disengage. Amen? Why do you disengage? You disengage because that person is going to drag you in a totally different direction. You disengage, strengthen yourself. Jesus said to Peter, he says, when you are strong, then strengthen your brother. You remember when you go on a plane? How many people flown? You've been on a plane. Okay, praise God. Most everybody here. Now, when you are in the plane, one of the instructions they give to you is that if there's a turbulence and this mask oxygen thing comes down, you should put the oxygen on yourself first, then you help. Remember that? Well, the same thing is true in the realm of the spirit. When you see somebody who's going in a direction of unbelief, disengage yourself. Make sure that the atmosphere that is causing unbelief in that brother or that sister does not impact your life. Put your oxygen mask on and then go after that brother or that sister to restore them. Don't try to restore them when you are still in the same, breathing the same atmospheric nonsense. If carbon monoxide is around, you want oxygen. Don't try to save them with your monoxide person. Hello? When there's unbelief around, cut it off immediately. Cut it what? Off. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship, what koinonia, what fellowship hath righteousness, the ability to stand steadfast in the righteousness of God, in the goodness of God, with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? There should be no connection. And what concord, sense of oneness, hath Christ with Belial? What part had he that believeth with an infidel? An infidel Have you heard of the word fidelity? What does fidelity mean? You've heard the word, but what does it mean? Say it loud. Trustworthy. Clean. Sincere. Pure. An infidel is somebody that believes, but what they believe in is not pure. It's not clean. You can have infidels in the church. They have mixture. With one mouth, they're saying Jesus is Lord, but their actions and their attitude is nothing like that. What they are saying and what they are acting is not the same. That's an infidel. Infidels believe. Pagans believe. But they just don't believe in the one true God that you believe in. Oh, those pagans. Does that mean that they're not serving or worshiping something? Are you kidding me? Belial. The root is the word Baal. I know what Baal means? Master. So when Israel moved away from Jehovah and they started worshiping Baal, they were moving from one master to another. The question we must ask ourselves is this: what do we believe and what are we connected to? The church is connected to the Most High God, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, saying forth out of their mouths, He is Lord. But remember the statement of the Lord: not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall inherit. So you can be in the church and end up in hell. Oh, you don't like that. But that's the truth. Because you're not worshiping in spirit and in truth. And if you're not worshiping in spirit and in truth, then you might be worshiping a different spirit and living a lie. Wow. And what agreement had the temple of God? Guess what? You are the temple of God. What agreement have you as a temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Yes, this is a temple, this place we come together. It's a temple, but really, the real temple is you. The real temple is me. That's the place God is. As God hath said, He said it, I will what? Dwell in them. And what? Walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my what? People. Who are God's people? Those that God is dwelling in and walking in. Those are the ones that He says, I'm God to, because I get to live in them. I get to walk in them. So what does that mean? It means that I've made myself available to God. Some would say, making myself available to God makes me the temple of God. Available. Available. What does avail mean? Huh? Avail. You can cheat. You can go to your dictionary and tell me what avail means. To avail. Huh? I told you can cheat. Avail, I just want avail for now. What does it mean? You are Canadians. Tell me, you have the English language. Avail. It's your language. Tell me what avail means. Come on. Even after I've asked you to cheat, you still can't tell me. You can't use your iPad or your. Okay. Master cheater over there. Praise the Lord. To avail means to overcome, be ahead of, have the advantage, make a connection. Advantage toward attainment of a goal or purpose. Avail. So what does available mean? Now, able to that is God saying, you have the ability to be advantageously ahead in attaining the goals, the purposes that I give to you. So when I make myself available to God, I make myself come to that place where God makes me head and not tail, above only and not beneath. It's called living in victory. Availability is the grace to be victorious. I'm available. That means I am ready to go, ready to do. And the church is called to be ready. To reach our society because of the anointing that's available to us. Hallelujah. How is this availability or call to service and the accomplishing of the service brought about? Well, it is what we've been talking about all this while. But before I go there, hone into that. As the church, as God's people, recognizing that we have different roles and growing and accepting the role that God has assigned to me. That's key. Growing and accepting the role that God has assigned to me. I try to be the best me because there are all kinds of gifts in the body. There are the power gifts that we are all awed with and by. You know, Mama talked about the 1 Corinthians 13 today, about the prophetic gift. If I have the gift of prophecy. If you have the gift of healing, we might focus on that healing grace. Oh, look at that blind eye got opened. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a real man of God. That's a real man of God. He has a powerful healing ministry. Wow, we all throng to that healing. Thank God for healing ministry. Or somebody comes and they can tell you everything about you, your grandma, your great grandma, your great great grandma, and you know, you don't need to go look for those ancestry whatever. They will tell you your roots 1,000 generations back, and tell you who your father's mother was. You say, wow. This is amazing. Let's run after that. Oh, but this one, he just opens the Bible and teaches. John 3:16, what is that? And God says, the John 3:16 guy is just as important as the guy who read your mail. just as important as the one who you saw and the missing ear grew out. You saw it. They are all important. Not one is more important than the other. Every grace that God has given you is what God has given to you. Celebrate it and be the best at it. Be the best at reading and teaching on John 3:16. Oh, but no, I like that. I like that pastor over there. That guy. He will tell you about the book of Revelations. Praise God. God did not call me to teach on the book of Revelation. You see, we create unnecessary differences. What we need to do is appreciate every person's position. My kidneys have a particular role. They do not play the role of my lungs. And the day my kidney decides to be in lungs, that's the day we have serious problems. You're trying to be somebody else. There are all kinds of birds. You might go out there and you see a robin. And the robin is singing away. It's amazing. But a hen, a chicken, says, I like to become that robin. Look at how it's sounding. Huh? It's a rooster. It will annoy you in the morning. It will wake you up. It's called to be an alarm system. And the robin says, I like to do that. I like to do that. Come on. Be the bird that God called you to be. Oh, that nice rooster or chicken sees an eagle flying and says, yikes, I like to fly like an eagle. You're a bird, but you're not an eagle. You're not going to soar up there. You can't even fly 3-4 feet. Just do your thing. Be the best chicken that God has called you to do. Lay the eggs so I can have my scrambled eggs. Hallelujah. When I go to the restaurant, I don't ask them, I would like some eagle, please. Ask for chicken. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Eagles don't taste good. But chicken. Now we're talking. The eagle is soaring up there and it looks down and it sees a peacock. And now it wants to become a peacock. Because the peacock has all these nice flamboyant colors. Give me a break. Look at that. But can it fly like the eagle? No. But they are all what? Birds. They're all birds. You might be the robin. You might be the chicken. You might be the eagle. You might be the peacock. You might be whatever, the duck. Whatever it is that you are, just be satisfied with what God has called you to be. Bring your part to the table and will be the best church ever. That's all. That's all. Whatever God has graced you with is what you need to bring to the table. You know, Pastor, I'm not good at anything. I'm just a mechanic. Well, is there any part of the Bible that says thou shalt not be a mechanic and help people that have mechanical problems in their vehicles? So, why don't you start a ministry of mechanics that fix people's cars, change oils? It's still the church. Well, you know what? Anybody that needs a change of oil, we're going to be in the parking lot on Saturday from this time to this time, and we'll change your oil. Just come. I'd love to be part of that kind of a church. Glory be to God. That helps me solve problems. Because they have a heart to serve. Available. Available. Shout it with me. Available. Because we are the temple of God, and God is doing miracles. And guess what? If God is doing miracles, He's going to do it through somebody. Might just as well be me. Amen? Praise God. God, I want to be so wealthy that my people don't have to go and start borrowing money out there, you know, at 5% or whatever percent, and every time they raise the interest rate, problems. No. I want to be so loaded that whatever the need is, I'm the perfect distributor. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. It's called a church. We are the non-profit that is profitable. Glory be to God. Because we're finding ways to solve problems. Jesus, our Lord, came to solve problems. The first clear declaration that we see from the Word of God, God saw confusion in the world, and the Bible says, and God said, let there be. Hallelujah. Let there be light. And light was there, was made available. God is causing and calling us to be problem solvers. Do you know that every industry, no matter what industry it is, ends up becoming only one thing? A service industry. No matter what it is that I make glasses. It's a service industry. Because these glasses are serving me. Huh? Serving me. Besides serving me when things were getting out of focus. And as things went out of focus, I found out that things were blurred. All I could see was stars everywhere. I see the back of the lights of the car. It's all over the place. Then I bought me some focus. Hallelujah. And the focus I bought is serving me. Well, there are people whose lives are out of focus. And what God calls us to do is to bring their life back to focus. Because we are the body of Christ. We are tightening the muscles so that the focus is in place. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying by the Spirit of God? The Word of God says, as I begin to wrap for now, it says in Hebrews 10 and 25, this is especially for those who are at home, COVID came, and all you decided to do is to stay at home and watch online. Thank God for online connections. But the Word of God says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, it says, as the manner of some is. The question is, are you part of the manner of some who disassemble themselves? Or are you part of those who assemble together? For what purpose? It says, but exhorting one another. Why? To make sure that those who are disassembling themselves assemble themselves, because they recognize that they play a particular role. As I was thinking about this the other day, I saw a man with a missing leg. That part is gone. Moving. But in his moving, he had crutches. He was still moving, but he was moving because his arms, his armpit, was now doing the work that the legs should be doing. When there is discomfort in the body, it is because somebody is not playing a particular role that they are supposed to play. We may be going forward, hopping along, but as long as there is pain here, when there should be no pain there, means that the feet are not working, or something is missing in the sense of our stability, and therefore we're borrowing something from the outside to help us do what we are supposed to do. Do you get the point? The church should move so smoothly because it's a properly oiled machine. The Holy Spirit is there. The water of the Word is there. The breath of the Word of God is there. There is no room for pain. Just a deliberate walking to fulfill the purpose of God. If the church is assembled together, and we all know that we need one thing, every part of your body, no matter where it is found, has to be fed by blood. Yes? True? Every part. Because there's life there. But the fact is, the blood, when we talk about the blood of Jesus, we're talking about the blood of sacrifice. Oh my. There is nothing like being part of the church and not living the life of sacrifice. If you're part of a church, you are going to sacrifice. Because the altar that is not fed by blood is just whatever. It will never speak. It's just a cut stone. It's just a table. But when blood touches that altar, it will speak. Hello? I said, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying there is nothing like I'm part of that church. I'm not sacrificing, giving financially, committed. Everybody gives. We may not give at the same level, but we must all give sacrificially because that's where the blood is. You squeeze a grape and you drink the grape juice, you drink in the blood of the grape. Raisins are good, but you cannot drink raisins . The raisin lost its blood. We give into each other's life. That's why we must be assembled. We allow God to connect us. The assembling of the saints is the connection of God. God connecting you with me. And me with you, and you with them, and them with us. Connecting, so that we can move. This cannot move without this joint, which is connected to this joint. We move because we are connected. If there's no joint, you can't walk. You may shuffle, but you're not going to walk. If there's no joint, you can't leap. Am I speaking English? I'm trying to help us make sense of what the church is. We are not a bunch of stiffs. We are interconnected. We're not the same. The femur is not the humerus. The scapula is not the clavicle. We're all different, but we are part of one body. Now, I'm not doing this teaching by the leading of the Holy Spirit just to have a teaching section about the church. I'm talking about every one of us being renewed by the spirit of our mind. Nobody in the church should be overworked at anything. And everyone in the church, because organisms reproduce, must reproduce what it is that you are. You reproduce what you are. The praise and worship team should be reproducing another team. Hello? Every ministry reproducing its kind. Everything producing after its what? Kind. Was that the law that God gave? So ultimately, the church reproduces itself and continues to multiply. And that's how enlargement takes place. Praise the Lord, somebody. Come with me. Look at Psalm 92 real quickly. Verse 13 through 15. Then I'm going to do something. I'm not going to make too much of a commentary, but everything I've been talking about, I'm going to read through in the scriptures and to hone in all that information. Word of God says we need to be assembled together, connected to each other. He says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Planted in the house of God. Planted. You allow yourself to be what? Planted. When you come to this church, you're not a visitor. If God has called you here, stay here. Allow yourself to be planted. Give your time, give yourself time to put your roots down. Amen? Allow yourself to put your roots down. Every spring into summer, we plant. You know, we do our gardens and whatever it is. And you'll notice that something happens. You take a tomato plant from the, what do you call those things? Greenhouse or whatever, where they sell it. It looks really nice and bright and cherry, and then you take it to your house, you dig the soil, you put it there, and you come in the evening, and it's drooping. Looks like it's dying. No, it's trying to acclimatize itself to where you've put it. And every time you come to a new church, or you come to church, you go through that same experience where, oh, I'm so excited, I'm here, and then all of a sudden, all you need is more water. And that's the role that every other person plays, bringing the water of God's goodness to you. And all of a sudden, you pick up and you spread. And then you come through the process of flowering. And it looks like the flowers, these yellow flowers, fell off. And no. Those flowers that you saw, that's where the tomato is going to be. Hello? The process of change. But allowing yourself to be planted in the house of the Lord so that you can flourish in the courts of our God. You experience answered prayers. It says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. You still be fruitful when you're old because you allowed yourself to be planted. And no matter how old you are, you're still fruitful. You still got it. It says, they shall be fat and flourishing. That means prosperous. Glory be to God. Why? To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. And now I'm going to do what I want to do. Take me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just going to primarily just read. I might break and make a comment at some point, if need be, but everything I've been talking about, you will see in this particular passage of Scripture. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, people who did not know God, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. You were led by dumb idols. He says, now there are diversities of gifts. Let me stop there. Led by dumb idols. And then he says, now there are diversities of gifts. And the point he's making is this. When you are not functioning in the body, you are being led by dumb idols. Do you get it? He says, now there are. Go back to verse 15. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Differences of administrations. That means different gifts can be administered or served out differently, but it is the same Lord. Amen? Then it says, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Same God working through everyone. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. In essence, everybody gets to profit by the different giftings that are playing out in the body. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Dividing to every man severally as he will. Say it with me, divide into every man severally as he will. The point being made is, yes, every person plays a particular role, but there are times when God gives more gifts to different people and they can play all kinds of roles. Amen? Praise the Lord. But all these gifts, all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In the next verse, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are many, but one. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We all drank from the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. For the body is not one member. The body is not what? One member, but what? Many. We are many members, but one body. Amen? Next verse. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? In essence, the word of God is saying, so you say you're not this, but you're still part of the body. So better do your thing. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, Where were they hearing? If all of us are seeing, everything about us is sight, where is the ability to hear? If the whole were hearing, where the smelling? So we may all be together, and different people have different ideas about the same one thing. Don't throw the other ones out. Consider this part that you're adding, how does it connect with what I'm saying, and how does it connect with what that person is saying? Because if it is the same one spirit and the same God leading us, then different people are bringing different parts. And when we accept all the parts and all the parts get joined together, we've got the answer. Amen? Where were they smelling? But now had God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. As it had what? Pleased him. So he set you here because it was pleasing to him that you be here. But without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. So God put you here as an expression of his faith. Oh. Sister Juliana's rolling it in her head. You here for a reason. The education you had at your school, you had it for a reason, but it's also part of the body of Christ. But now had God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? There's no body if we're all the same thing. We are the body because we are also different, but all connected in purpose. Hallelujah. Let's go on. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered. You know what tempered glass is? Okay, God had tempered, compacted us together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no what? Schism. You know what that is, right? Separation, division, strife in the body. So in essence, when we are not playing our particular functions, there's going to be schism. But that the members should have the same care. We should care one for another. Now ye are the body. Now ye are what? The body. Ye are the body of Christ. But you are members in particular. And the point is, you be the best you in the calling that God has called you to do. Let's look at 26 again. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. For you are the body of Christ and members in particular. 28. And God had set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Did you see? Remember what the Word of God said? We give more honor to those parts that are not that important. Guess where he put miracles and gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues at the lower level. Guess the ones we want to hop on, the lower level ones. But it says the apostle first. And then secondarily, prophets. And then he says teachers. Because all these other gifts, miracles, healings, whatever, if you don't have proper teaching, you are doomed. If you don't have the prophetic anointing and the apostolic grace to put order, you are doomed. 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then it tells us what that most excellent way is. It is what? Love, charity. That's 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. So what is the church about? The church is the embodiment of love. The church is the temple of love. The church is a manifestation of love. Guess what love is? The Bible says God is love. So when people see us, they should see who? God. They should see the manifestation of love in all of its colors. This is the word of the Lord to us. I trust that we receive it and we are forever changed because of it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God praise for his faithfulness. I thank God for the wonderful opportunity and privilege he's accorded me to bring the word of God to you as often as he lets me stand before you and before the saints of God around the world on a weekly basis. It's an honor to serve God's people. At this time, we're going to honor God and allow God to help us experience the supply of his goodness. Let us come at this time and release the seed of faith from our hands. God calls us to be givers. It is part of his character. The love of God causes us to live sacrificially. One of the first manifestations, top manifestations of the demonstration of love was that the people of God shared freely with each other what God has given to them. And there was no need, no lack in the body. This is our opportunity to give. Amen? We get to give. And I thank God for that privilege. that I get to give. And one of the first things that we do this offering time at this time. But one of the first things we do here in this household of faith is we come and express with thanksgiving, even before anything is done, before the first strike of the guitar, the first pound of that keyboard, release with thanksgiving our gifts of faith. Amen? Praise God. How many of you have been in a restaurant recently? And when you go to the restaurant, after you ate the food and you pay, you want to pay, they come and they tell you about the tip. Give 15%, 20%, 30%. How many of you have just rushed that restaurant, the manager, and say, all you guys want is my money. I paid. Nobody complains until they come to church and one complainer over here. You come to church and say, give your tithe. Huh? The church wants 10%? Well, God says the 10% belongs to him. Amen? Did you get well fed this morning?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'm looking for my 30% before you leave. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's in the mail. God is good. Amen. I just said that to just let us know. Give yourself a break. We're always complaining about things in the house of God, but we don't complain out there. I see people buying tickets to go watch some silly game. Guys hitting themselves, knocking themselves, and giving themselves concussion, and they pay $1,000. I want to be in the front row and see Muhammad Ali knock out George Foreman. What's that all about? When you come to the house of God, feel free to give. Amen? Mama, come. Let us share in communion together.
Everybody served. If somebody need communion, if you don't have, wave your hands. We'll wait for you. Okay, we are all served. Communion is good for you. It's the body of Christ. Amen. I think Apostle did a good job with the message this morning. So praise the Lord. We are one body, one spirit, one God. Hallelujah. It also is also healing food. You
Amen.
Can take it and be healed. Amen? Because you're taking bread. God said, I will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness and disease. Hallelujah. So Amen. As you take this, expect sickness and disease to be what? Removed from you. So disease is not only the disease you have. Anything that's not at ease. So including your finance, if it's not in the right order, it's dis-ease. If your home is not in harmony, it's what? Dis-ease. So as you take this morning, order is being restored.
Amen.
Wholeness is being restored.
Amen.
Health is being restored.
Amen.
Blessings are being restored.
Amen.
Take and eat. His cup of blessing, which is the wine, Jesus called it his blood. Where life is in the blood. Blood is not life, but life lives in the blood. Life is God. So God lives what? I said life. It's not blood. Life is in the blood. God says, I am your life. So when we take this money, God is living in us.
Amen.
And your life will be perfect. Amen. Nothing can hurt you. Even Satan cannot cross the blood.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus. Can someone say the blood of Jesus?
The blood of Jesus.
It's perfect blood.
Amen.
Put the boundary of blood. As long as the hedge was on, Satan could not touch Job. The hedge of the blood covers you and your family today.
Yes.
Nothing can touch your children, touch your spouse, touch your family, touch your health, touch your finance, touch your property. The blood of Jesus. Can you say that?
The blood of Jesus.
And Bible says speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel died, his blood spoke. But God says the blood of Jesus speaks better things. Says the blood says, I am healed. Say, let the sick say, I am what? Healed. Let the poor say, I am what?
Healed.
Rich. So say, I'm rich.
I'm rich.
Say, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
Speak that, speaking better things. So speak the answers of what you want, not the problem. In Jesus' name, amen. Take.
Stretch your hands towards us. Father, we speak the release of your healing anointing.
Yes.
You are the builder of your church. The church that the gates of hell cannot prevail over.
Yes.
Build this your church.
Yes, Lord.
Cause everyone to take their rightful place and minister from the strength of the grace and the role that you've called them to function in. Lord, those that are outside of this place that you have assigned to be part of this body, we command by the authority of your word that they be drawn to come serve.
Amen.
The body of Christ.
Yes.
From wherever they are, from the nations of the earth.
Yes.
Locally and globally. We call everyone to their rightful place.
Amen.
That this, your church, may be your voice in the earth.
Yes.
We give you praise that it is so done.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Be blessed and be highly favored.
Amen.
Of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Just be seated for a quick moment. Is anyone here for the first time? Anyone here for the first time? Okay, back there. I'll come say hello to you in a moment. Those of you that